Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to have all of you here with us, and today does start our revival services, and we are excited about that. We're excited to have Pastor Bobby Floyd here with us today and through Wednesday, so we are excited about that time. I do have several announcements I'd like to make. I'm going to repeat a few that you saw and some you didn't, but I will start by wishing a happy birthday. And again, I told you that, you know, have a bird that keeps flying by. And I do want to say a very special happy birthday to Miss Michaela Anderson. So when you see her today, wish her a very happy birthday. I don't know which one this is, but it is her birthday today. So wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Michaela. I do have several other things I want to mention to you. One is the medical mission team. To give an update on them, they this weekend had a food stand there at the Puget Swamp Festival. And raised a total profit of $2,710. So they wanted to mention that to you, and one reason they wanted to mention that was to say thank you for coming out and supporting and helping them in that call. So a thank you from that group. Also, just a couple of reminders. Youth Committee, this afternoon we do have a meeting at 4:30. Also, Wednesday night, this was up there, but just a special reminder. Wednesday night is our youth supper, pizza supper here at the church, and if anybody can help or willing to help, get in touch with Patrick and let him know what you can do or what you're willing to do with that. I also have two letters I'd like to share, but I just had one thing pop into my mind. Let me say, if I forget anything about announcements, I know y'all had several things you want to mention, don't hesitate to let me know now. One thing is the men's groups that meet on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, will not meet this week. We're going to have a combined meeting Monday night, not tomorrow, but the following Monday at the Cartwright Men's Fellowship. We'll be joining that up with that Cartwright Men's Fellowship that night. So if you're not a part of one of those groups, that's fine. It's our regular Cartwright Men's Fellowship group, but we were going to do what we normally do that night at that meeting. I have two letters I'd like to share with you. One is from Justin Safran. It says, "Dear church family, we have 2 months until boot camp, and I am beyond excited. Turbyville came down last week and helped us cut and volunteered to work. We got a lot done, but still have a lot more to do. We start putting up the big tops this Thursday because it's big top day. So please keep praying for all the work to get done before boot camp starts. Please pray for Felicia and I as we seek guidance from God and what he wants us to do. I miss and love all of you. Sincerely, Justin Safran." And I have one other I'd like to share from Beth and Chad. It says, "Dot and I would like to thank all of you for all the wonderful gifts, blessings, support, and prayers y'all have bestowed on us in the past few weeks. We look forward to sharing our special day with all of you right here on May 9th at 1400, which is 2 p.m. Blessings in Christ, Beth and Chad." Were there any other announcements that need to be made this morning from the congregation? If not, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for watching over us and caring for us and providing for us throughout this week and bringing us here safely together this morning. I ask now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time, and that you would prepare Pastor Bob as he comes to speak, and that he would follow your leading, and that you would make our hearts open and receptive to your word, that we would take what we hear this morning, apply it to our lives so that we can better serve you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I remind you, as a church family, you are not here by accident. You may have thought you're here by habit, but you're not. We're here today by a divine appointment. God purposed us to be together for this wonderful time of revival and challenge in our hearts. And so, we say as before, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Join with me in the call to worship, the bond of love, followed by the hymn, which will be scrolled. It is not in our new hymnal, therefore it will not be found in the hymn book, but it is Pentecostal power. Let us stand together and praise God in song at this time. And may we truly be one in the bond of love, singing together.
We are one in the bond of love. There's no Let's pray. Lord, we ask for something that only you can do today. Lord, we can humble ourselves. We can pray. We can try our best to be faithful. We can even show up. But only you can truly bring revival to us this morning. And so, Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would create in us a pure heart, even though we absolutely know what that means. It means that we've got to open our hearts to you. We've got to lay it open before you so that even those dark and dirty areas, Lord, that you can begin to purify and make clean again. So, Lord, in light of your holiness, we confess our sin, and we believe in your faithfulness and your justness that you indeed will forgive us and cleanse us. And now by your grace, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices before you, knowing, Lord, that we bring very little to the table, but you in our lives means that we can do even the impossible as we're willing to embrace you and follow you. So revive, renew, and transform our lives today. We want to keep our spiritual fervor high as we serve you. Lord, give us, Lord, new opportunities. Lord, to take what little we have to offer, we pray that you would take it and bless it and use it to touch people with your love. And we ask you especially in this moment to touch Brother Bobby. Lord, in this hour, fill his cup to overflowing. Lord, as he gives, may he be given even more. And Lord, as we turn ourselves to you, Lord, as we come in weakness, we believe we will find your strength. Even as we approach with sin in our lives, we know that you'll forgive. And Lord, in our darkness, you are the light that brings us glory. And now, even in our fear, Lord, may your presence transform that. Lord, for your name's sake this morning, lead and guide us. And Lord, for those that are in our prayer list and are in bulletin, Lord, we pray for them especially. For Mr. Jim and for Mr. Cy Green. For Carol and for the Weaver family and for Charlie Burns and for Jesse and for little George Harris. Lord, we're asking a special touch upon their lives in this very moment, believing, Lord, that when your people call out their names before you, that you not only hear us, but that, Lord, through your great grace, you reach down and touch. So touch their lives, we pray. Again, Lord, as much as we can, we open ourselves to you, and we believe that you're going to do a good work within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
message, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Pray. Heavenly Father, again, we stop to thank you for the many things you've blessed us with, and we just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be good stewards of what you've given us. As we give this portion back, we ask that you would take it and use it for your honor, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, we will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining time of the service. And immediately following our special selection, our pastor will introduce our speaker of the week of revival. Remember, it starts today. It doesn't even finish on Wednesday. We trust the revival will go on in our hearts and our church right throughout this coming year for God's glory. Join with me, please, together. 358, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And may we be listening to his voice today as we sing. I am thine, O Lord, together singing. Thank you, church. You may be seated, and may that truly be the prayer of our hearts today. Heather?
Picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. You brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus.
I know that Brother Bobby's ready now. You know, in trying to gather some bio, that's what we do when we introduce someone. The truth is, what I found out was y'all know him already. I was about the only one that really needed to be introduced to him. I'd heard of you, but certainly you're no stranger to the people here. And you're no stranger to their prayers, because they've been praying for you for a while. But what I did learn, I think, is rather amazing. He grew up, got saved, got baptized, is now pastoring his home church, and has been for 15 years. And that is an amazing, wonderful thing, folks. But here's the thing. Wednesday night, for those of you who are here, we asked a bunch of questions about revival, a whole bunch of questions. One of the questions was, why Brother Bobby? And I was amazed at the different answers I got. Yeah. And we talked about a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, what we came back to, and this is the A answer, because that's who God wanted for us to have here. Because we went through a process, and the name that came through that process that we believe God gave to us was you, Brother Bobby. So we know that God has given you what we need to hear. Come bless us.
Okay, I'm looking for the sound man. I see him up in the corner now. Yes. It may be on mute. You're going to have to get somebody with more sense. I'm from Barron, though. All we got is on and off button where I come from. Sir? I believe it's coming through. I believe it is. Yeah, we just got an on-off button there. I mean, that's about as complicated as we need to be in Barron. But it is a joy to be with you folks this morning. And there are a lot of familiar faces, a lot of you I went to school with. A lot of you have children that I went to school with. And a lot of you have children that attend school with my children now. And so it is a joy and delight to be with you. As I stand before you this morning, I've preached revivals and a lot of different places, but I don't think I've ever been more humbled to have been asked to come and speak at this church in this town for revival. And we do trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning as we look into His Word and as we allow His Word to look into us. It's good to look into God's Word, but if all you do is look into God's Word and you don't allow God's Word to look into you, then you will leave just like you came. But if you allow God's Word to look into you, that will make a difference in your life. But it is a joy and delight to be with you this morning. Pastor Rodney said I could kind of make myself at home. So since I'm making myself at home, I'm coming on out here with you folks, if that's okay. I'm afraid of those podiums. I'm a lot more comfortable as I stand out amongst the people. So it is a delight. I do thank the leadership of this church for allowing me to be the man that was selected, that God placed here for this week. And I trust that you will be much in prayer. I know that you have been praying. I have been praying, and that also humbles me to know how much you've been praying for this revival. And let's just trust God to do that which God desires to do in our midst this morning. A very familiar portion of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, if you have your Scriptures, and I trust that you do, if you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Many of you probably could quote that scripture from heart, but we're going to look at that scripture in a little more detail this morning and allow God to look into our lives through this passage of scripture. The context of this passage is simply God's visiting Solomon and God giving Solomon a word for the nation of Israel. And I think this word that God gave Solomon for the nation of Israel at the dedication of his temple is a word that is relevant to us this morning as the people of God in Turbeville and the surrounding areas. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Preaching a message I entitled, An Atmosphere for Revival. An Atmosphere for Revival. And a third time for any Floyds that may be present, An Atmosphere for revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, and this is God speaking, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray and seek my face, then what's God going to do? God's going to do something special. Father, as we gather in this place of worship this morning, we're thankful. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful for the singing of the gospel. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for your anointing. And Father, as we gather as the people of God this morning, we just pray that you would be in the midst of this service. We pray, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would create an atmosphere of revival, that you would do something special in this church this morning that only you can do. Now, Father, we just commit ourselves into your hands. We pray, Lord, that you make up the difference between where we are and where we need to be. We pray, Lord, that you would just show up and show out this day for your glory. Now, Father, we honor you, and we pray, Lord, that you would just anoint the ears of each person that's present, that they may receive that which you have for them, that you would anoint me, Lord, that I may proclaim your word in a way that's clear and concise and effective. Now, Father, we just pray that you would be with us in your Son's name. Amen. An atmosphere for revival. I want to preface my message with these remarks. Understand that revival is a God thing. Man cannot produce revival. It doesn't matter if you select the right songs. It doesn't matter if you bring the right minister in to share the word of God. It doesn't matter how you try to produce revival, how you try to concoct revival. Revival is not produced by man. Revival is a God thing. True, authentic, genuine revival comes through the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through us as a church. We cannot produce revival. The event, the experience of revival comes from God and God alone. Now I get more amens here than I do at Barano. I need to, that's good. Thank you. I like that. I like that. Amen. That's dangerous to amen a Pentecostal now. You know that. But thank you for that. But revival does not come through man. Revival comes through God. The event, the experience of revival is a God thing. So we need to understand that as we begin this morning, that revival comes through God and God alone. If revival occurs in this church this week, and revival is more than just a series of services. Revival, as Dr. Blank has already mentioned, is something that is long-lasting. If you want to know if you've had true revival, don't ask me about what happened this week. Ask me about what's happening 6 months from now in the Turbeville Church. If we want to have revival at Turbeville, we need to understand that it is a God event. It's a God experience. Now, with that statement, with that thought, that revival is a God event, a God experience, I want to hasten to say, though we cannot produce revival, we can create an atmosphere in the midst of our lives where God can bring revival and God can send revival. And this week, that's what I'm desiring to do. In my message this morning, that's what I'm desiring to do, is to help us create an atmosphere, an environment where God can send revival to the Turbeville Southern Methodist Church. So the question arises, well, how do I go about creating that atmosphere of revival? How do I go about creating that environment within my life that God will be able to bring revival into my life? Well, as you look at our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you will see that God speaks to Solomon, to the nation of Israel, and he really gives some principles that needed to be present in the life of the nation of Israel that would bring them to the place where they would be ready and prepared to receive revival whenever God brought revival. And as I look at that passage of Scripture, I say, well, I know it's for the nation of Israel. I know it was given to, that's a word that was given to Solomon for the nation of Israel. But I said, there's some principles that we as a church today can glean from this passage that will enable us to prepare ourselves for revival, that will create an atmosphere of revival in our lives. So the question is, well, what are those principles, Bobby? What are those principles that we can have in our own lives and apply to our own lives that will create that atmosphere for revival? So this morning I'm going to share these principles with you to create that atmosphere of revival so God can bring revival to our hearts and lives as individuals and corporately as a church. The first principle is this. We need to understand that revival is for the church. We need to understand that revival is for the church. If you look at the text, it simply says, if my people who are called by my name, my people, my name. That's the concept of belonging. That's the concept of ownership. You know, I have a wife. She is my wife. She doesn't belong to Coach Kelly. She doesn't belong to Ron Wingard. She's my wife. Laura belongs to me. I've got five children. Now, if you want them, I may can give you some of them. But they're mine. And if you kept them very long, I'd be looking for them, to be honest with you. Why? Because they're my children. God gifted and graced me with those children, and they belong to me. And in the text, he's saying, my people. It's the idea of ownership, who are called by my name. He's saying revival is for the church. Revival is for the believer, those who belong to me. Revival is for those who are followers of Christ. The revival is not for the unbeliever. God cannot revive an unbeliever. An unbeliever's dead. They can't be revived. Only something that is living can be revived. And the concept of revival is the idea of being brought back into use. If you've never been in use, how can you be brought back to use? You can't be. It's the idea of restoring spiritual health and spiritual vigor and vitality. And the only way that you can be restored to spiritual health is if one time you were healthy and you were walking with the Lord. So revival is for the church. It is not for those who are outside of the church. Revival is for the believer. It is not for the unbeliever. Understand that concept. My people who are called by my name. Now, I know this is a very evangelistic church. At least my Sunday school class that I was in this morning is a very evangelistic church. So I don't want you to fall off the deep end with me whenever I say revival is for the church, it's for the believer. Though revival is for the church, it's for the believer. You as a believer have a responsibility to invite the unbeliever into the house of God. Though God cannot revive an unbeliever, he can only revive a believer. Let me tell you what he can do. He can resurrect a man that's dead in his sins, a woman that's dead in her sins and her trespasses. And the same Holy Spirit that brings life and spiritual vitality and spiritual health back into the life of a believer is the same Holy Spirit that is able to breathe new life and to breathe that spiritual energy into the life of an unbeliever and bring them to the place that they need to be in their walk with the Lord. So the revival is for the church. It's for the believer. We as believers, you as a believer, have a responsibility to reach out to the unbeliever and to try to bring them into the house of the Lord because they're more apt to get saved in the house of the Lord than on the outside of the house of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is more apt to deal with them in the house of God than outside the house of God. So we need to understand that revival is for the church. Principle number two. The first principle is simply this. Revival is for the church, my people who are called by my name. Revival is for us this morning. We need revival. God needs to breathe spiritual health, spiritual vitality, spiritual vigor into us and to bring us back to that place we once were in our walk with him. Second principle, if you look back at the text, the church needs to acknowledge their need for revival. The church needs to acknowledge their need for revival is for the church. Absolutely. But you know, something can be for me and I not acknowledge that I need it. We need to understand, yes, revival is for the church. But we also need to acknowledge our need for revival. You need revival this morning. I need revival this morning. And I need to acknowledge my need for that revival. I am desperately dependent upon the Lord. The more I live life, the more I pastor, the more I deal with people. That was not necessarily you folks, because I don't pastor you, but the more I deal with those folks that I pastor in Barano, and I can talk about them this morning because they're in Barano and I'm here. But the more I deal with people and the lives that they live, and even with my own self, raising children, the most difficult task that I've ever endeavored to do is to raise children. And those of you that have children, you ought to be saying, amen. There you go. The most difficult task of the more desperate I see the need for the Lord in my life. I need the Lord. I'm desperately dependent upon, I can't make it without the Lord. The church needs to acknowledge we need revival. And the scripture says, if you look back in the text, verse 14, it says, will humble themselves. The word humble there is the idea of you getting rid of your self-sufficiency. You getting rid of your self-willed attitude and your self-centeredness. Getting rid of your arrogance. Getting rid of your pride. It's the idea of you recognizing, you know what? If the Lord don't show up, if the Lord don't show out, there's not going to be a revival. If the Lord's not present, if His anointing's not present, if His Holy Spirit's not present, nothing's going to transpire in this service. I'm going to leave this place just like I came. I'm going to leave with a smile on my face saying, you know what, it was good to be in the Lord's house today, but really nothing has changed inwardly. I'm still the same man. I'm still the same woman. But whenever we humble ourselves and we acknowledge our need for the Lord and we really get serious before the Lord and we say, Lord, I acknowledge that I am desperately in need of your presence. I acknowledge that I can't live life without you. I acknowledge that I don't have any peace. I acknowledge that I'm hopeless without you and I need your encouragement. I need your strength. I need your power just to live life successfully. Lord, I'm desperately in need of you. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, and we need to acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I need you. And oftentimes we will say that with our lips, but our heart is far from that point. We will acknowledge Him with our lips, but in reality, in our hearts, we're saying, Lord, I know I say I need you, but really I can handle this on my own. I can do this myself. We need to get rid of self and humble ourselves before the Lord. I read a story that really illustrated this truth. His name was Evans Roberts, and he was a ministerial student in the country of Wales. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon this young man, and he felt like that God was fixing to move on the nation of Wales and bring revival. So he went back to his home church, and he talked to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, I would like to just get up in the congregation and share what the Lord's placed on my heart, and I'd like to share with this body that, you know, the God's fixing to move in the nation of Wales, and He's fixing to bring revival. Well, the pastor, and I understand the pastor's point of view completely, was a little bit hesitant to allow the young man to get up and speak, and I understand that completely. You want to be careful who you allow into your pulpit. Brother Rodney might be having those thoughts right now. But you have to be careful who you allow into the pulpit. So eventually they discuss and they come to some terms, and the pastor said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Evan. I will allow you to speak after the service is over, and I will announce it to the body of Christ that you will be speaking after the service is over, and if anyone would like to stay, they can stay around and hear what you've got to say. So the pastor announced it in the church, and after the service was over, 17 young people, teenagers and young people. And Mr. McTu said that was 60 and under this morning, but I'm talking about in their 20s. Teenagers. 17 teenagers remained, and they listened to this young ministerial student speak. To make a long story short, by the end of that week, 60 people had been saved. And by the end of the next 18 months, over 1 million people had been brought to Christ. And what is known as the Wales Revival. It all began not with a church that acknowledged their need for revival, but with a handful of young teenagers and young adults, college and career age young men and young women that acknowledged their need for revival. The church needs revival. Third principle. The first was simply, revival is for the church. The second one is simply, the church must acknowledge their need for revival. Third principle, as you look back in the text, The church must pray and seek the face of God. If there's going to be revival, there must be prayer and the seeking of God's face. Now, the way we seek God is through prayer. Would you agree with that statement? So we kind of understand that concept of, you know, we seek God through prayer. But what does seeking the Lord really mean? Just let me give you an illustration of what it means to seek the Lord. My oldest daughter, she's 18. She'll be graduating with some of you folks, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure y'all got some senior. I know you got a senior because she's waving at me. And the young man that I beat in the 5K yesterday, he's sitting right. I'm just got to throw that in. He's sitting right beside her. But my 18-year-old, she'll be graduating in just a few weeks. And about a year and a half ago, you got your senior rings. You may remember that. And my oldest born is Allison, and she's Allison. She's a sweet young lady. She loves people. She's got a lot of positive qualities, but she's not sometimes real smart. So, but anyway, about a year and a half ago, she got her class ring, and there was a lot of excitement in the Floyd house. It's the first senior that's got a class ring, and it wasn't but about 2 or 3 days after she got a class ring, she lost her class ring. Now, her grandmother, Laura's mother, Miss Barbara, bought that class ring, as she does for all of her grandchildren. She bought that class ring, and Allison wouldn't even talk with Miss Barbara on the phone because she had lost the class ring. Miss Barbara hadn't even seen it yet, and she was scared to tell her grandmother that she had lost the class ring. But anyway, Laura and Allison were trying to find the class ring, and Laura would say, "Allison, where's the last place you had the class ring?" She said, "The last place that I can remember having the class ring was on the couch. I was on the couch, I fell asleep, and when I woke up, the class ring was gone." I said, "Okay, well, what we need to do is we need to seek for the class ring, need to search for the class ring in the couch, because it's got to be in the couch somewhere." So we tear all the cushions off, and we digging down in behind the, just digging up in the couch, trying to search and seek out that class ring, and we couldn't find it. Another day went by, and we still hadn't found the class ring. She says, "I'm telling you, it's in the couch. That's where I was. That's where I lost the class ring." I said, "Okay." Well, I flipped the couch over in the house, and I took the cloth off the bottom of the couch. I ripped the cloth off, and I was digging up in the couch, went and got me a stapler, and after I didn't find the ring in the couch, and I stapled it. But I was seeking. A couple of more days went by, and guess what? Still hadn't found the class ring. I flipped the couch over again because Allison was certain that the ring was in the couch. I flipped it over. I ripped the cloth off once again. My wife, being a very meticulous person, didn't like that idea, but we were searching. We were seeking for the class. We was doing everything that we could. Our first priority at the Floyd house during those few days was finding that class ring. When the phone rang and it was Miss Barbara, Allison would leave the house. She didn't want to tell her grandmother that she had lost the class ring that she had bought her. Once again, I flipped the couch over, tore the cloth off the back of it. We looked in and out all kind of ways in that couch, and no class ring. What am I trying to say? We were desperately looking for the class ring. We were seeking. We were searching for the class ring. Now, we never did find the class ring in the couch. I'll just finish this story up, and I'll move on. But we did find the class ring. It was upstairs in her bedroom, up under her bed. Somehow or another, she must have woke up and went upstairs and fell asleep in her bed. Anyway, that's a different story. But everybody was happy whenever we found the class ring. But we were seeking, we were searching for the class ring. Whenever a church, whenever a person, whenever a follower of Christ wants revival, and he wants to create that atmosphere for revival, you know what must take place? You must pray. You must seek the face of God. What does seeking the face of God mean? It means you love God with all of your heart. It means that you serve God with all of your heart. It means, listen to me, that God becomes the first priority in your life. He becomes more important than anything else in your life. Whenever we were looking for that class ring, that was our main priority. That was our top priority. We were seeking, we were searching for the class ring. When you get hungry, when you get thirsty for the Lord, and you really want to become intimate with the Lord, you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to seek His face, and He's going to have to become the most important thing in your life. He becomes number one. He becomes Lord of your life. That means He becomes more important than your family. Just let that sink in for a moment. He becomes more important than your family. You say, well, Bobby, that sounds confusing. No, that's not confusing at all. The best thing that ever happened to Laura Floyd was whenever Bobby Floyd gave his heart to Jesus Christ. I got married in 93. I got saved in 94. And I promise you, the man that I've been since 94 was better than the man I was and from 93 to 94 before I got saved. The best thing that ever happened to my five children is whenever I fell in love with Jesus Christ and Jesus became the Lord of my life and I began living my life for Christ. It totally changed who they would be. Christ must be more important than my family. That doesn't mean that I neglect my family by any means. No, whenever Christ becomes the most important thing in my life, I'm telling you, that will raise that, it will elevate the importance of my family in my life. Christ must be more important than your job. Your job is just a venue by which you serve the Lord. It's just a venue by which you do ministry into the world. Christ must be more important than your job. Christ must be more important than your hobbies. Now listen, young folks. When I say young folks, I'm talking about people my age in their 40s that's raising children. It must be more important than your children's hobbies. We're raising a generation where we're teaching our children to serve the Lord whenever it is convenient. If it's not convenient, well, you can skip church. You can skip those functions that are related to the church. We only serve the Lord whenever it's convenient. No, whenever you fall in love with Jesus, when Jesus becomes that priority and you begin to pray and seek the Lord, and you really want God to be number one in your life, He becomes more important than your family, more important than your job, more important than your hobbies, more important than your children's hobbies. He becomes the priority in your life, the first principle of all of who you are, the reason why you exist. We must pray and seek His face. Either God is in first place on your list, or He's not on your list. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Amen. He's either the pilot or He's not in the car. He's driving or He's not riding. We must pray and seek the face of God. If we want revival, if we want to create that atmosphere for revival, God must be first in our lives and we must be hungry and thirsty for His presence. Fourth principle, look back at the text. The first principle was, revival is for the church. Second principle, the church must acknowledge their need for revival. The third principle, we must pray and seek the face of God. The fourth principle, we must turn from our wicked ways. Now, turn is a very easy concept. If I'm going in this direction towards Dr. Blank, and I turn, that means I'm leaving that direction I once was going. And I start moving back towards Ron Wingard. I've turned. And I'm moving in a different direction. So we got the concept of turn, what it means to turn, but what are we to turn from? He says we are to turn from our wicked ways. Now, wicked is the idea of moral deficiency. It's a lack of moral quality that will cause you to injure yourself and to injure others. So it's that basically you could just kind of sum it up, wickedness is sinfulness. You're to turn from your sinfulness. Now, he's writing to the nation of Israel. He's writing to who? To His people who are called by His name. And I'm preaching to His people who are called by His name this morning. But yet the text says we are to turn from our sinfulness. Do you realize that some of the research today teaches us and tells us that 80% of this country is Christian? I mean, read some of the Barna research, read some of these other Pew studies, and you'll find out that 80% of this country, that's the high mark now, that sometimes 80% of this country consider themselves to be Christian. Now, I've got a major problem with that. My major problem is society, culture. It don't add up. God's people don't act like our culture and our society act. That's not what the Word teaches us to live out. But yet, that's what, you know, culture says, and that's what the studies show, is that 80% of this country is Christian. This country needs to repent. The church needs to repent. The church needs to turn from their sinfulness. You say, well, Bobby, you talking about me? Well, I'm talking about me. Not necessarily you. Sometimes I need to repent. You just take for a moment, just think for a moment, And I know you folks are on Facebook, and if you're not on Facebook, you're at least looking at TV and commercials. Some of the commercials that are, I have to turn the TV off at the commercial. Actually, turn it to another station because of the filth, because of the foul language, because of the sexual immorality that's present in our culture. I know if you keep up with the news at all, what went on in Florida just during spring break, right there on the beaches in Florida, sexual immorality rampant right here in this country. It's awful. The filth and the foul language and just the sexual immorality and the lying and the stealing and the gossiping and the drugs and the alcohol and the addictions that are abounding, yet we call ourselves a Christian name. I'm saying we need to turn from our sinfulness and we need to turn back towards God and we need to pray and we need to seek His face and we need to embrace Him in His totality and allow Him to become Lord of our lives. We need to create that atmosphere for revival. We can't produce revival. Bobby didn't bring revival in his pocket. He didn't. He didn't bring revival in his car. You can't produce it. I can't produce it. But what we can produce, what we can create is an atmosphere for revival. Whenever we know that revival is for the church, whenever we acknowledge that we need that revival, whenever we will pray and seek the face of God, whenever we will turn from our wicked ways and from our sinfulness and call on the name of God, that will create that environment, that atmosphere of revival. And what does the text say then? We don't have time to unfold it. He says, then, whenever that atmosphere is created for revival, whenever that environment is present, when you've prepared your hearts for revival, He says, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive your sins. Then I will heal your lands. May we create that atmosphere of revival starting at this moment in time this morning, that God may show up and He may show out for His glory and that He may revive not only this church, not only this community, but this country for His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are very thankful for your word this morning. We're very thankful for your kindness to us. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would just minister grace in the midst of our hearts and lives. And pray, Lord, that you would just bring your people to the place that they need to be, that our hearts would be touched for your glory. We pray, Lord, that that atmosphere of revival would be created in this place this morning and that you would touch lives. Change us, Lord. Let true, authentic, life-changing, transforming revival take place in our heart. And also in this church corporately, for your glory, in your Son's name. If our musicians would play it real softly just for a moment. If you would stand to your feet if you're able. If you would just bow your heads for a moment. Creating an atmosphere for revival. The revival is for the believer, but that believer must acknowledge his need for revival. And once he acknowledges that need for revival, he must pray and seek the face of God, and he must turn from his sinfulness. And then God can do what only God can do. He can send revival. As I've studied the different revivals through church history, even into the book of Acts, one key element that is always present in revival is prayer. I go to Acts chapter 2, and they're gathered in the upper room before those 3,000 souls are saved on the streets of Jerusalem, and they're in the upper room praying. I look at the first and second great awakenings of this country and what they call the Haystack Revival, also in this country, and that key element amongst all of those revivals is prayer. I look at that revival that I talked about in Wales, and the element of prayer is present. And I know you folks have been praying for revival, and I've been praying for revival. May the Lord stir our hearts to even pray more, to pray and to seek His face. And this morning, as we come to the end of this service, and as they get ready to sing the invitational hymn, I would just encourage everyone that's present, that's able, to move towards this altar, and to find you a place around this altar and spend some time before the Lord, meditating, examining your own spiritual walk with the Lord. You may say, well, Bobby, there's not enough room for all of us to get around this altar. That's a good problem. That's a good problem. That doesn't bother me at all. I still encourage you to at least make a move towards the front. You may not be able to kneel on this altar, but I feel like we need to close in prayer. And if you don't know Christ as Savior this morning, I pray that as this message has been spoken, that the Holy Spirit has gripped your heart and that you will just fall in with those other individuals that are coming together around this altar for prayer. Now this time I invite all of you that would to make a move towards this altar and to show the Lord that you're serious about revival. You're serious about praying and seeking His face, making Him the first priority within your life. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's made a move towards this altar. And Father, I pray that you would just encourage and strengthen each one. I pray, Lord, that you would create in us that atmosphere for revival. Help us, Lord, to do that which is necessary on our part, to be responsible with that you've given us to be responsible with. And Father, that you would hear us, Lord, as we gather around this altar this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayers. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring us to the place that we need to be. Yes, Lord, that you would forgive our sins and that you would heal our lands. And though our entire nation may not be swept into revival, Lord, that we as individuals could be swept into revival and that we could feel your presence and your power in a way that we've never felt your presence and power before. Now, Father, just be with this church. Just encourage and strengthen each one and allow your will to be worked out in our lives for your glory. And, Father, if there is one under the sound of my voice this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, I do pray for that individual this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to the place that they need to be. Help them to see that they're desperately dependent upon you, and without you, they will not make heaven their home. Because you're not a way, you're the only way in which we can be saved. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Ryan.
Ideas aside and say, Lord, we want your oneness in our body. We want you to again control this church. We want you to bond our hearts in love. Folks, we don't only need revival, we can get it. The atmosphere has been set. Your moving is an indication you're saying, God, we need you. And again, be praying about tonight. Be here. God is not finished with us. God only wants to begin a new work in all of us. So let's all come with open hearts. Pastor, before we close, is there anything else that you want to share? Pastor. Oral benediction together. Listen, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We're a family of God. Let's say that.